Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I will read text 32. Tasyanudavato Retash Chaskanda Mogharetasaha Shushmino Yutapasyeva Vashitam Anu Dhavataha. Translation. Just as a maddened bull elephant follows a female elephant who is able to conceive pregnancy, Lord Shiva followed the beautiful woman and discharged semen, even though his discharge of semen never goes in vain. Text 33. Yatra yatra patan mayam retas tasya mahatmanaha tani rupyasya hemnascha kshetran yasan mahipate. Translation. O King, wheresoever on the surface of the globe fell the semen of the great personality of Lord Shiva, mines of gold and silver later appeared. Purport. There's a short purport to this verse. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that those who seek gold and silver can worship Lord Shiva for material opulences. Lord Shiva lives under a bale tree and does not even construct a house in which to dwell. But although he is apparently poverty-stricken, his devotees are sometimes opulently endowed with large quantities of silver and gold. Parikshit Maharaj later asks about this, and Shukadev replies, Sarit Sareshu Shaileshu Vaneshu Pavaneshu Cha Yatra Kva Kasan Rashayas Tatra Sanihito Haraha Sarit. Near the shores of the rivers. Sarashu. And near the lakes. Shaileshu. Near the mountains. Vaneshu. In the forest. Upavaneshu. In the gardens. Or small forests. Cha. Also. Yatra. Wherever. Kva. Anywhere. Cha. Also. Asan. We're existing. Rishaha. Great sages. Tatra, there, Sanihitaha, was present, Haraha, Lord Shiva. Translation. Following Mohini, Lord Shiva went everywhere, near the shores of the rivers and lakes, near the mountains, near the forests, near the gardens, and wherever there lived great sages. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Mohini Murti dragged Lord Shiva to so many places, especially where the great sages lived, to instruct the sages that their Lord Shiva had become mad for a beautiful woman. Thus, although they were all great sages and saintly persons, they should not think themselves free, but should remain extremely cautious about beautiful women. No one should think himself liberated in the presence of a beautiful woman. The Shastras enjoin, Matrasvara Duhitrava Navi Vikta Sanobhavet Bhalavan Indriya Gramo Vidva Mamsa Api Karshati. One should not stay in a solitary place with a woman, even if she be his mother, sister, or daughter, for the senses are so uncontrollably powerful that in the presence of a woman one may become agitated, even if he is very learned and advanced. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshulam Militam Yenam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kidamayam Dati Svapadantikam Andeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Nina Bandhu Chagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Satyadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Thiruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, first of all, I'd like to thank the devotees very much for the opportunity to speak today. I feel myself completely unqualified to speak in an assembly of devotees like this. I very humbly beg all of you for your kindness and liberality with me. Somehow I make a mistake, say something wrong, if I offend anybody, I really humbly beg all of you to be kind and forgive me for that, and Please correct me for my mistakes. The chapter that we're reading is called Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva. And the verses that we've read today, I think, come to the heart of the point. Srila Prabhupada says, especially this pastime is meant to demonstrate how anyone can potentially be bewildered by the beauty of a woman. Lord Shiva is a most high, exalted personality, almost on the same level as the Supreme Lord himself. But yet we see here, he is also being bewildered when the Lord has manifested his beautiful form of a woman, the Mohini Murti incarnation. The first verse that we read describes like this: just as a maddened bull elephant follows a female elephant who is able to conceive pregnancy, Lord Shiva followed the beautiful woman. And so, if you can think about that, a maddened bull elephant following a female elephant who is, at the time when she is ready to conceive, at the time when she is most attractive, that's when generally the male animal will be most inclined to pursue the female. And in that same way, just like an uncontrolled animal, Shiva is chasing after Mohini Murti. I don't have so much experience with elephants, but just like Ajamil, after he is saved by the Vishnu Dutas, he describes himself also as having become like an uncontrolled animal. In Bhagavatam, Ajamil says, being a most fallen soul, I was victimized by the illusory energy and have become like a dancing dog led around by a woman's hand. So like a dancing dog. So the point to take note of is that material nature is so cruel. Material attachments can be so deep that when we're bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, even a high class, high personality, qualified — Ajamil was from a Brahmin's family — a high quality person can be degraded to the point of behaving just like an uncontrolled animal. I'm from a culture where people would keep dogs in their houses as pets. We never had a dog, but my aunt had a dog. When I was a little kid, I really loved that dog, actually. And that dog, you know, like, if anyone was eating anything, the dog would just kind of come to you and look with these wide eyes and lick its lips and slobber. And it was just like kind of pathetic. He was always begging for the objects of the senses. That's the nature of an animal. We expect more from a human being, especially a cultured human being. A human being should have a little intelligence, a little dignity, a little self-control. If someone is eating, you know, it's very unbecoming if someone just kind of, you just come and just pathetically beg, you know, please, I want to eat what you're eating right now. And similarly, if there is a beautiful woman, a cultured person will have a little bit of discrimination, will have a little intelligence, will have a little self-control. He will not just chase that beautiful woman. That's a very low-class thing to do. But here, in this verse, Bhagavatam is explaining that just in that way, Like an uncontrolled animal, Shiva has been reduced to that point. He's been reduced to the point where he's just chasing like a bull following a female in heat. That's the warning of the Bhagavatam. Ajamil also, we gave that example, he was from a very high-class Brahmin family. And, you know, in our Kali Yuga, we understand we don't even see people like that anymore. Mostly the population is Shudra people, or maybe even less than that. But Ajamil, somehow or other, the material energy was so strong and so cruel. When he witnessed the lustful young man and woman, he became so bewildered that he gave up all of his spiritual culture, all of his Brahminical culture completely, and he spoiled his whole life, actually. He did so many abominable things. He had to resort to crime to maintain his family. He gave up, he had a chaste Brahmini wife. He left her. And so these are the warnings of Srimad Bhagavatam. How heavy is the Lord's material nature? How cruel? How the material nature, if we're not careful, if we're not under the Lord's shelter, how the material nature can completely degrade us, even from a very, very high position. And the point gets a little heavier than that. Lord Shiva followed the beautiful woman and discharged semen, even though his discharge of semen never goes in vain. So the brahmacharis probably know better than me. There are 8 forms of brahmacharya. The first is to, you know, to think of a woman and to meditate and to you know, to engage with a woman, to speak with a woman, and so on. Please excuse me, I don't exactly remember every item. But the final point is illicit sex. To actually indulge in illicit sex. And so it's one thing to be bewildered to the point of maybe looking twice or meditating or having a inappropriate conversation and so on. But here the point is that Lord Shiva was brought to the point of discharging his semen. In other words, he came to the final, the conclusion of what a brahmachari or what a cultured person is not supposed to do. Srila Prabhupada says, this is from a purport in Bhagavatam, semen is meant to be discharged when one has a home, a wife, and the intention to beget children. Otherwise, there is no injunction for discharging semen. So Shastra is very clear on this. There is a time and place when that is appropriate, and that time and place is when one has a home, when one has a wife, and when one has the intention to beget children. Otherwise, it is unauthorized. And the aspiring spiritualist should be very careful about that. And he discharged his semen, even though his discharge of semen never goes in vain. So that's the point. A religious person, an aspiring spiritualist, should not discharge semen in vain. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, dharma virudha bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas. And Srila Prabhupada explains, sex life according to religious principles or dharma should be for the procreation of children, not otherwise. The responsibility of parents is then to make their offspring Krishna conscious. So this is a kind of a heavy point. When maybe people less experienced in Krishna consciousness hear this point, it tends to be kind of shocking that, what are the rules and regulations for this point? But the standard, the high standard that at least we should sincerely aspire towards is sex life is only meant for procreation and for religious children. And otherwise, there is no injunction for discharging semen. It's explained like that when Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they were married. Kardama was a very austere ascetic, and for a long time at the beginning of their marriage, Devahuti also had to tolerate very austere living. But then at a certain time when it became appropriate to try to conceive children, it's described that they had their religious enjoyment. But but this point about discharging semen, Kardama Muni was very controlled on that point. It was not done recklessly. It was not done excessively. It was done exactly to the point for procreating children. We've heard like that also. It's described about Srila Prabhupada's glorious disciple, Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Somehow it was said he had 7 children, but in his life only discharged semen 7 times. We hear from Nectar of Instruction, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udarapasta Vegam Etan Vegan Yovishaheta Dira Sarvam Apimam Prativim Sashishat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. The urges of the genitals, Srila Prabhupada writes, the urges of the genitals, the sex impulse, can be controlled when not used unnecessarily. The genitals should be used to beget a Krishna conscious child, otherwise they should not be used. The Krishna consciousness movement encourages marriage not for the satisfaction of the genitals, but for the begetting of Krishna conscious children. As soon as the children are a little grown up, they are sent to our Gurukul school, where they are trained to become fully Krishna-conscious devotees. Many such Krishna-conscious children are required, and one who is capable of bringing forth Krishna-conscious offspring is allowed to utilize his genitals. Sorry, I'm probably spending too much time on this point. But anyway, the point we want to say is how strong is Krishna's illusory energy, and how powerfully Lord Shiva was bewildered, at least externally. Text 33 has said, O King, wherever on the surface of the globe fell the semen of the great personality of Lord Shiva, mines of gold and silver later appeared. And the point in the purport was there that Lord Shiva himself, he tends to live very poverty-stricken, but his followers sometimes display a great deal of opulence. And Srila Prabhupada writes, Parikit Maharaj later asks about this, and Shukadeva Goswami replies, in the 10th canto, in one of the final chapters of the 10th canto, in a chapter called The Deliverance of Lord Shiva, there is a question asked by Maharaj Parikit from Bhagavatam, from Krishna book. And the question is, We want to, if we want to say that the devotees of Lord Krishna are in a higher position than Lord Shiva, then how can we understand that that the followers of Lord Shiva sometimes have great material opulence? The personality that they're worshipping, Lord Shiva himself, is very austere, but the people who worship him become very materially opulent. And conversely, those that worship Vishnu or Krishna, Vishnu is living in Vaikuntha in tremendous opulence, but his followers tend to be very, very poor. So why is that? And does anyone remember the answer? Yes, Prabhu? That was a very nice answer. He said that the devotees of Vishnu have the opulence of detachment. That's true. Yeah, one way it's said in that chapter of Bhagavatam, it says that Lord Shiva, he is married to Durga, who is the mother of the material nature. And so naturally, his followers will become very opulent. But that opulence may not be very good for a person. When one has a lot of material opulence, the tendency is to become bewildered. It's very close to the point we're hearing about here. Material life bewilders us and drags us down from the point of spiritual realization. Lord Vishnu, on the other hand, he does the opposite. There's this verse from Bhagavatam: Yasyaham anugnani harishe tad dhanam shanai tato dhanam tyaj jantyasya svajana dukha dhukitam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. So the distinction between Vishnu and Shiva is that Vishnu is a very strict parent that may be very tough on his children, but who wants to do very good for them. Whereas Shiva is a very indulgent type of parent. If a child is demanding so many frivolous things, and a parent just indulges the child, it won't be very good for them. So in the same way, Lord Shiva, his followers may have so much opulence, but that opulence may not be good for those people. Whereas the followers of Vishnu, if they're getting the special favor, then they will be completely denied. I've heard that Srila Prabhupada, when he heard this verse in Bhagavatam, he became very horrified. He said he was terrified. There's the story also of the follower of Lord Shiva. He was worshipping Shiva for many years very seriously, very devoutly, and at one point Shiva came to him and said, I'm so pleased with your worship, I want to give you a benediction. And so that Brahmin, he said, Lord, I'm a very poor Brahmin, and I would like to have some wealth and some opulence. And so Lord Shiva, he was actually so pleased with that Brahmin that he gave special mercy to that person. And he said to that Brahmin, you should go see Sanatan Goswami. He is staying at the Madan Mohan Temple in Vrindavan Dham. And there he has a touchstone. And the power of that touchstone is that anything you touch the stone to, it will turn to gold. So if you associate with that Sanatan Goswami in that way, you can get great wealth. And so the Brahmin, he came here to Madan Mohan Temple, and he found Sanatan Goswami, and he found Sanatan very absorbed in his chanting, in his worship of Krishna. And he asked him, he said, "Sir, I have heard that you have a touchstone which turns things to gold. And I'm very interested in that stone. Do you have that?" He says, "Yes, I have that. Do you want it? You can have it." He said, "Yes, I want it very much." He said, "It is in the rubbish pile over there. If you can find it there, you can have it." And so the Brahmin, very enthusiastically, he went and he searched for that touchstone. And he found it, and he tried it out, and it worked. And he was able to make gold, and he was shocked. But it's said that that Brahmin, because of his long worship of Lord Shiva, he actually had spiritual intelligence also. And so he thought to himself, how is it that Sanatan Goswami is keeping this stone in the rubbish bin? The whole world is looking for something like this. The whole world is looking to increase their wealth and opulence. And Sanatan Goswami has the most amazing facility for that. And he doesn't care about it at all. He's just keeping it with the garbage. So how is that possible? He thought to himself, it must be that Sanatan Goswami has something even better than this touchstone. And so he went to Sanatan Goswami and expressed his doubt. How is it that you're keeping the stone in the garbage? You must have something better. Sanatan Goswami says, yes, I do have something better. He said, are you interested? The Brahmin said, I'm completely interested. He says, I will give that thing to you, but first you should take the touchstone and you should throw it far into the Yamuna. And if you will do that, then I will give you something that I have that's even better than the touchstone. And it was a big test of faith, but the Brahmin thought, well, it must really be better. Otherwise, how could he be so detached from this stone? And so he threw that stone in the Yamuna. He came to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami, he preached to him the glories of the holy name of Krishna, and he initiated that person. And he instructed that person about the goal of life, about pursuing devotion to Krishna. And so on a material level, maybe he was the loser, but on the spiritual level, he actually attained the higher thing. So finally, in text 34, it's described, following Mohini, Lord Shiva went everywhere, near the shores of the rivers and lakes, near the mountains, near the forests, near the gardens, and wherever there lived great sages. So especially this pastime is meant to instruct the world. It is just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was very closely related to Krishna, and he should not have been bewildered in any way. But just to instruct the world, so that the world is left with the treasure of Bhagavad Gita, which has so many important, powerful instructions for our spiritual development. Then temporarily, Arjuna was seemingly put into some illusions that the Bhagavad Gita could be revealed. So it seems to be a similar point here. Lord Shiva is a great personality, and the Lord has arranged for this story so that everyone can see, all the great sages, anyone who may be a little proud of their renunciation, can appreciate that, oh my God, even Lord Shiva can become bewildered by the power of the illusory energy. So how much more careful I should be. Srila Prabhupada writes, Mohini Murti dragged Lord Shiva to so many places, especially to where the great sages lived, to instruct the sages that their Lord Shiva had become mad for a beautiful woman. Thus, although they were all great sages and saintly persons, they should not think themselves free, but should remain extremely cautious about beautiful women. No one should think himself liberated in the presence of a beautiful woman. So this is the very sobering point here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has expressed similar things. Vikracha sannyasi amara raji darshana Sri darshana same vishara bhakshana. Since I am in the renounced order, it is as dangerous for me to meet a king as to meet a woman. To meet either would be just like drinking poison. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's also helping us all keep in mind we should never become proud that we are above the allurements of the material energy. Recently we were in Puri, we just heard the story again of the Lord instructing Pradyumna Mishra and how Ramananda Roy was training the Devi Dasis in a very high way that should not be imitated. And again, the Lord there, he says, I am a sannyasi, he said, and I certainly consider myself renounced, but what to speak of seeing a woman? If I even hear the name of a woman, I feel changes in my mind and body. Therefore, who could remain unmoved by the sight of a woman? It is very difficult. In the Prema Vivarta, Sri Jagannanda Pandit says, this is quoted in the first text of Nectar of Instruction in Srila Prabhupada's purport. So Jagannanda Pandit says, my dear brother, you are in the renounced order of life and should not listen to talk about ordinary worldly things, nor should you talk about worldly things when you meet with others. Do not think of women, even in dreams. You have accepted the renounced order of life with a vow that forbids you to associate with women. If you wish to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must always remember the incident of Chota Haridas and how he was rejected by the Lord. Do not eat luxurious dishes or dress in fine garments, but always remain humble and serve their lordships, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, in your heart of hearts. So we can always remember the story of Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas was in the renounced order of life. He made just a small mistake in his association with a woman. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very severely rejected him from his association. It says there's a Bengali saying that to instruct the daughter-in-law, you sometimes have to chastise the daughter. And so if the daughter-in-law has come to your house and maybe something she's doing is not correct, but your relationship is not yet so close with the daughter-in-law because she is just newly married into your family. She is not your blood. But your own daughter, you can severely chastise her for the same point, and then the daughter-in-law can understand that that thing is forbidden. I should not do it. So it says in the story of Chota Haridas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he severely chastised Chota Haridas, completely rejected him from his association. And it's said there in that pastime that, seeing the behavior of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of the devotees, they became very fearful. And even in their dreams, they stopped speaking to women. So that was the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To instruct the world. So this pastime is also to instruct the world. The Lord is instructing the world. This verse is quoted from Bhagavatam. One should not stay in a solitary place with a woman, even if she be his mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so uncontrollably powerful that in the presence of a woman one may become agitated, even if he is very learned and advanced. That's a very heavy comment. That's from Bhagavatam. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, generally one is not attracted to his mother, sister, or daughter, But if one allows himself to sit very close to such a woman, one may be attracted. This is a psychological fact. It may be said that one is liable to be attracted if he is not very advanced in civilized life. However, as specifically mentioned here, even if one is highly advanced, materially or spiritually, he may be attracted by lusty desires. So, this is the very strong instructions we're hearing from Bhagavatam today. It is, I'm completely unqualified to speak on these instructions. I'm just trying to repeat something that we heard from our acharyas. Gopal messaged me this morning. He said, you should come to the point of chanting the holy name and preaching about chanting and kirtan. So we should say something about that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. The heart may be dirty with so many anarthas. And who has any remedy for that? What is the practical way to clean that? What is the practical way to resolve that problem? There is only one answer to that. Harinam eva kevalam. Only by chanting holy name of Krishna. That is our real hope. Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihi esha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. The divine energy of mind, consisting of three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So I think that is the conclusion that we can take here. Maya is very strong. Maya is very, very dangerous. We should take complete shelter of Krishna, especially by chanting his holy name. With your permission, maybe we'll leave it there if there are any questions or comments. Yeah, we have the microphone. Yes, Prabhu? How do you control your dreams? What a great question. I can't speak with any realization on the point of controlling dreams. I've never been able to do that. I think maybe that's exactly the point. Controlling dreams, who can control their dreams? It's based on the impressions one has in one's mind. And so if one will completely give oneself to Krishna consciousness, if one will fully absorb oneself 24 hours a day, then naturally the mind will be spiritualized. And so naturally one will tend to have more spiritual dreams. Srila Prabhupada recommended, you know, in the evening time we should hear Krishna book, we should hear some shastra, so that the last impression of the day is some spiritual vibration, so that we have more spiritual dreams. I can say also, times in my life when I've been more fixed, more strong, more fully absorbed in service, at that time my dreams tend to be more spiritual. It can be like that. So I think the answer is like that. If controlling your dreams may be very, very difficult, but if one's mind is just always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then that will be where the mind tends to go. Is that okay? Maybe one more question? Yes, Prabhu?
I'm going to go to the village and the woods, and
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this. Well, ultimately, anything that we tend to be materially attracted to, that will be an obstacle in our Krishna consciousness. And so, I don't personally have that experience. If someone is a woman attracted to a man, then that type of attachment, you know, unless it's like a Krishna conscious husband, then generally speaking, that will be an unfavorable attachment that one should make endeavors to try to control. Is that okay for you? One of the former directors of our 24-hour kirtan department, he told us like this. He said, we are in Vrindavan Dham, we should be very careful not to have vulture consciousness. The vulture is the animal, it's flying very, very high in the sky. But where is its consciousness? Its consciousness is to look down very low on the ground to see where are the dead bodies. So he was warning us. We are sitting here in Krishna Balaram Mandir in front of the deities doing kirtan, and we should be very careful not to have this type of vulture consciousness. Seemingly we're in a very high place doing a very high thing. We're in Vrindavan Dham, the highest place. We're chanting the holy name, the highest activity. We're looking at the most beautiful forms of Radha Shama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gornitai. We're flying so high, but the tendency is for our consciousness to be on the ground looking after dead bodies, meaning especially that the ladies and men and the ladies will tend to have an eye out for one another, being attracted to one another. We should be very careful about that. Is that okay? Okay, maybe we'll leave it there. Karantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Janita Go Premanandi. Hari Bol!